Children's life goes forward.
Good morning, children. This morning I'd like to read a little story out of this book here and then have some verses that go along with the story. The story is called Bishop Benedict. And we'll just start reading here. Says, young David Yoder leaned forward in his chair at the dinner table. Papa had heard exciting news that morning, and the family was all ears. Whose horse was stolen? Asked Mama, dishing up more noodles from the pot. Benedict Miller's, Papa answered. His finest one, too. Not the gray Parchin, exclaimed David. He thought sadly of the beautiful dappled workhorse, huge but gentle as a lamb. That horse was the best in all of Somerset County. Who would dare steal him? David began to feel angry instead of sad. Will they catch the thief? Questioned Mama. I don't know, answered Papa. Hours have passed already. The horse is probably taken in the middle of the night. Benedict did find tracks of the man and a horse going out the lane. That should help, said Mama. Did he follow them? No, that's the thing, said Papa. Benedict refused to go after the thief. He said the Bible tells us not to demand return of stolen goods. Well, that does sound like Benedict, Mama nodded. She's right, David thought. Bishop Benedict Miller was the kindest man he had ever known. He was always taking strangers into his home and giving them work in his woodworking and blacksmith shops. He planted apple trees along the roadside so travelers could eat the fruit. Best of all, Benedict had started a school in his home for David and other Amish children. After all, he said, this was the 1830s and the children must learn. David knew the kind bishop meant it when he said he would not go after his horse. Still, it seemed a shame. It was a shame that the beautiful Parchin was gone. The community talked about it for weeks. Most of the people, especially the neighbors who weren't Amish, thought Benedict should have followed the thief, but Benedict stood firm. He would follow Jesus' way. People were more important than property. Months passed, the talk died down. Young David no longer thought about the gray Parchin every time he saw Bishop Miller. He no longer wondered sadly about the horse as he did his chores on the farm. Then one day, Papa came home with important news. A neighbor had seen a huge dapple gray horse tied to a hitch rack in Baltimore, 90 miles away. He felt sure it was Benedict's horse. He talked to the owner, exclaimed Papa, and the man said he bought the horse a short time ago from a stranger. He agreed to sell the horse if we can prove it belongs to Benedict. Has the bishop been told? Asked Mama. Yes, answered Papa, but he refuses to go claim the horse. The neighbors have decided to go together and buy the horse back for him. It just has to be Benedict's. A few days later, an excited group of men and boys gathered on the road a mile from Benedict Miller's farm. Two men led the huge gray workhorse all the way back from Baltimore. Now he pawed the ground and snorted nervously as David's father began to remove his bridle. Benedict had refused to take the horse unless he returned on his own. David held his breath as the bridle dropped into his father's hands. What would the horse do? All eyes watched eagerly. The huge gray Quadroon shook his head and sniffed the air, enjoying his freedom. Then, slowly, he headed down the road toward the Benedict's farm. Walking proudly and easily, the men and boys followed carefully not to get too close. As the horse reached the Benedict's farm, he turned abruptly and walked down the lane toward the barn. When he entered the barnyard, Benedict, who had been waiting, called out his name, but the great gray horse ignored him, kept on walking. He walked through the barn door into the stable and into the first stall, his very own. Benedict Miller's finest horse had come home again, and the whole neighborhood rejoiced. So we see that he was patient and he followed what he believed God had said in not going after what was stolen and not reporting the thief. And in Matthew chapter 5, we see in, we just start reading in verse 38, says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." Wow. Somebody punches you in the eye, what do you think that human nature, what do you think you would want to do if you were an eye for an eye? Yeah. But you know what? Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." And this isn't a very easy thing to do, and it's also not a very popular thing to do. And it's important to know these verses and encourage you even to memorize them, because when you get older, and especially as you go out, the world at times will make fun of these verses and not follow them. So, verse 40, it says, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." So it says, if anyone will sue you at the law, and that's somebody taking you to court, and it's important not to stand up and try to get whatever you can, but just to let God take care of it. And then it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." I think if I understand right, the Israelites were required to carry the Roman soldiers' pack for them a mile if they told him to. They didn't have to go another mile, but Jesus said, actually, go another mile and help him. It says, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And ye shall be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So we see that we are called to love our enemies, and I think that's what Benedict did in this story, in that he didn't go after the thief, he didn't report the thief, because he could have probably gotten a law involved. I'm not sure in the 1830s what it looked like, probably wasn't calling the police, but it was probably reporting it and having help to reclaim it, but he didn't do that. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, persecute you." I think we've all heard stories of people that were praying for the people and loving the people that were not kind to them. And then what is the reward? I think it's that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendest rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So it's important to love those that are not kind to us. It's easy to love our friends, but not the people that are not kind to us. So let's practice this as we go throughout the week and try to be kind to others, even when it's not easy. So, yep, that's what I have. If you guys want to go back to your parents.